My guest is writer John Critch. He's completing a book about Latin American baseball. An article based on his research appears in this month's Mother Jones magazine. It's titled Journey to the End of Baseball. Critch traveled throughout Latin America to see what baseball means south of our border. In Nicaragua, he traveled with a group called Baseball for Peace, joining in the game and handing out much-needed bats and gloves. In Puerto Rico, he searched for the legacy of the great right fielder Roberto Clemente, who died 14 years ago in a plane crash while flying on an earthquake relief mission to Nicaragua. In the Dominican Republic, he learned why baseball is the national obsession, and in Venezuela, he reached his goal and found the most remote baseball diamond. When I spoke to John Critch from San Francisco, I asked him why he wanted to journey across the Americas from baseball diamond to baseball diamond.
For one thing, I've always been a baseball fanatic myself, and have also had a strong interest in Latin America. And in terms of Latin baseball, there is a real lack of literature about it. It seems in recent years, baseball has been covered in every possible way, but I think it's very characteristic of our approach to Latin America that it's the place in the world we see last and don't really notice. And so I think there was a need for some research and writing into Latin baseball. And for me, baseball has always been the way I connected to American culture here, so it seemed a way to connect to that other America that was out there to the south.
What was your overall strategy in planning out your itinerary?
My overall strategy? Well, I had this idea of going to the end point of baseball, as my article is titled, which I knew was somewhere in the interior of Venezuela. And other than that, I just wanted to hit all the major countries. There are really just four that provide players to the major leagues, plus Nicaragua and Cuba being the socialist camp of baseball. So I wanted just to see all the major ball-playing countries.
Yeah, you went to both Nicaragua and Cuba. And it's interesting that when those countries wanted to get rid of American influence there, they didn't also want to get rid of baseball.
Well, there really is a feeling that baseball is not North American, that baseball is theirs. For instance, the Cubans like to boast that their championships, professional championships, started in the 1890s. So their championships are actually older than our World Series. So they really seem to feel that baseball is their own.
In Nicaragua, where you spent some time, there's still fighting going on between the Sandinistas and the Contras. And I wonder what the effect of that fighting has been on how the sport has played and how much attention it gets.
The war affects everything in Nicaragua, of course, and especially baseball. For one thing, many of the best players are either in the army or have been killed, so there's a general lessening of the quality of players because of that. And then there's a shortage of equipment, partly because they don't have foreign currency to buy things, but also directly, they, even though they're a country that produces a great deal of leather, they're using that leather for boots for the army rather than gloves. And the area of the country where they produce the only wood that they can use for bats is also in the border with Honduras, where the most fighting is. So their supply for bats has been disrupted. So the war really affects everything that's going on there. But they continue baseball, and they think of it as a way of coming away from that war mentality and of still taking some pleasure in life and in what they're doing. As I have a quote from a farmer there who said that Nicaraguans reject sadness, and that baseball for them is part of this rejection of sadness, and it is very inspiring to see.
Everyone in America associates baseball with beer and hot dogs. Are there certain foods associated with baseball in Nicaragua?
Well, they have hot dogs there. They call them perros calientes, obviously in Spanish. Basically, rum. Rum is available throughout all the Latin countries' stadiums. And enchiladas of different varieties. Lots of barbecue. It's pretty different than what we would have here. And actually, there isn't that much drinking, and the Sandinistas have discouraged drinking at the ballpark.
I know you did some baseball playing on your tour. Did you run across any really different rules and regulations on your travels?
The rules are basically the same. In general, Latin baseball, like Latin culture, is slower. The games tend to take up to 4 hours sometimes, or 5 hours even. And people never leave the ballpark. You'll never see anyone leaving early, even though they go on for that long. It really is a feeling of being back in the 1890s or the 1880s and seeing the way baseball must have been in its time of innocence, or supposed innocence that we like to think of, when you really felt a close contact with the players. There's a lot of interchange between the fans and the players, yelling back and forth. The uniforms they're wearing are dirty and very raggedy. Of course, there's in some countries you have to throw the baseballs back in, especially in Cuba. You have where there's a shortage of baseballs, and in Nicaragua too, they throw the foul balls back. So that certainly is a large difference.
Were you considered a good player?
Was I considered a good player?
Yeah.
Well, I had never played hardball before, and I went to Nicaragua knowing I was going to have to, and I considered that to be my sacrifice for the revolution. I knew there was a chance that some wild peasant pitcher would heave one wild and hit me somewhere, and that's exactly what happened the second time I batted, so that was the end of my hardball career.
Where did it get you?
Right in the elbow.
Ouch.
But I'm a pretty good softball player.
So that was it for your travels as far as playing?
As far as playing, I also followed a team around in the Dominican Republic, the Aguilas, the Eagles, and I used to work out with them just in the outfield, but they let hundreds of kids, of local kids, do the same thing, so it really, although it was a thrill for me, to the kids standing next to me, it was something they did every day.
I think a lot of major league players have come from the Dominican Republic.
Yes, the Dominican's the hotbed right now. Basically, because Cuba is no longer available, the Dominican is the next biggest island. It's a country of about 6 million and is very economically backward. It's centered around sugar industry. And baseball really is the primary means of upward mobility. I mean, every male child in that country grows up wanting to be a baseball player. And there are about 40 Dominicans in the major leagues right now, and surely will be a lot more, to the point that perhaps people are saying that the whole expansion of the major leagues eventually may be based on the availability of Dominican talent.
One of your goals on your tour was to go to the very end of baseball, to search out the most remote, most distant baseball diamond. Did you find what you believe to be the end of baseball?
Well, it wasn't a very scientific proposition, and it was very approximate. And I also learned about halfway through my trip that there is Little League baseball now through all of South America, including Brazil and Argentina. I couldn't possibly cover all of that. But I think I did find the last place where baseball is the primary sport, where it is the main passion before soccer takes over. And it is in Venezuela, right below the Orinoco River. I found a tiny town called Ciudad Piar. It's a town that was built mainly for workers on a big dam on the Orinoco River. It's not a big-time ballpark, perhaps has seats 100 people. But it was good enough for me as the last diamond, and I took my imaginary cuts there. And basically below that, just the Amazon jungle takes over, and after that you're in Brazil, and Brazil is definitely soccer country.
I don't know about you, but I'm used to urban and suburban stadiums, and I'm trying to wonder what it would be like to see a game that had fields or jungles around the stadium.
Well, some of the places we were playing in Nicaragua actually were just cow fields that had been cleared off for that day. And there, actually, it was like playing baseball in the middle of a dream, because I couldn't imagine a more beautiful setting than these mists all around and these tops of volcanoes. Baseball is a very urban sport in many ways in its origins, but it's also very pastoral. It's a game that reminds us of our roots in the countryside and in this vast American frontier. And I think for Latin Americans, that's especially true.
Okay, John, I want to thank you for talking with us.
Okay, thanks.
John Critch's article, Journey to the End of Baseball, appears in this month's Mother Jones magazine.